your seat. During this season of the Christian life, everything seems to get in focus. But after this season, things seem to get blurry. We have a tendency in this season to pay a whole lot of attention to the cross and the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. But brothers and sisters, I stop by to tell you that it ought to be every day of your life, especially if you have surrendered yourself unto Him. Tal gave this message a title of just one word. Courage. Courage. For some of us, it took courage for you to walk in those doors out there today. Because it's not that you have not been here last night, but it's because you had to come today. Courage is moving ahead, going on, even though there may be obstacles in your way. I'm glad you asked. I heard you when you asked me, what obstacle did I have in your mind? What in the world am I going for today? I went last night and nothing happened to me. I have not changed anything. But because of courage, you got up, showered and dressed and come on, even though you may have been late. You come on. And especially if you were late. Because if you're anything like me, I don't like to walk in when I think everybody now going to be looking at me. I want to get here before anybody else get here so nobody won't have to watch me when I come in. Courage is going ahead in spite of what may be going, where you are. I think I got 4 points and a conclusion. Point number one. Sometimes there's a need for haste is point number one. It's found in verse 42. Says now when the eve was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. This man, and I'm going to talk about him in point two, that had to make haste was a man named Joseph. He had to hurry up and get Jesus' body off the cross. I know this seems I'm going backwards. That's the way it works sometimes. When you get to a place, you got to go back to where you used to be to keep going forward. Somebody need to know that the situation you're in, all you need to do is get courage and keep walking. And you can get through it. If everything was easy, the road would be crowded. That's why there might not be anybody in the chair next to you. It's not easy. It's difficult. If the truth be known, a lot of us that's here today, that's here this morning, this afternoon, had to press through something to make ourselves get here today. Even if it's, I just don't want to go. We need to fight and find that courage. Joseph had to get the body of Jesus off the cross before 6 o'clock in the evening or the afternoon. He had to get him, his body off, because the Sabbath day was coming. And you heard me when I said the day, what was the preparation? They were preparing for something. In the strictest Jewish culture, you did nothing on a Sunday. You did no kind of work. They fixed it up, so they made them some own laws. They had the one that's particularly what a lot of the Sanhedrin used was my house. On a Sunday, you could not walk any farther than a half mile. So what they would do, if I live right here, I leave me a coat right here. And I go another half mile and I leave me another coat. Anywhere I have anything that's mine is considered my house. So they could walk that half mile and be within the law. Then they'd get their whatever was theirs and walk another half mile. So you see, there are ways that you could get around it. But in this law, there's no way you could get around it, because it would be work. He had to get Jesus' body down off the cross because he was a Jew. And let me help you. I know you know this, but I need to tell you this. He was not, as far as everybody else was concerned, was a disciple of Jesus. He was on the other side, the way it looked. The Bible called him a secret disciple. I wonder. Yeah, I'm fixing to put my foot in your tea right now. I wonder how many secret disciples do Jesus still have? There's probably not a one of us in here that have not been or may still be. A lot of us used to be. There are a lot of used to be's in here. There are a lot of used to be liars. There are a lot of used to be homemongers. There are a lot of used to be dopers. There are a lot of used to be drunkards, drinkers, homemongers. There are a lot of them in the house of God. Used to be's. Don't throw the rocks. I told them this morning, you throw the rocks, I'll collect them and I'll throw them back at you after a while. Because that's the way, that's what God takes. He takes used to be's and make them into what he needs for them to be. Joseph Arimathea was used to be a secret disciple, but because of where he was now, got to take the cover off of you. Got to let everybody know whose side you're on. The courage that it took for him to go and ask for the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus died before they thought he was going to die on the cross, because the soldiers would come by and break the leg. They'll make them, so the doctor said, they bent the knees, and most of you have seen the crucifixion or some pictures of it. They bent the knees and then they had the legs, and then they had to push up, and that would let them breathe. So if they break the leg, they couldn't push up. That'll let them die a lot quicker. Jesus died. The Bible and other books you study say around 3 o'clock. That gave Joseph and the rest of them 3 hours to get him off the cross and get him to the tomb. And Joseph Arimathea was the one that went to Pilate to get his body. The reason he had to take his body off the cross, the Romans didn't care anything about criminals that were crucified. If he would have been, if they would have had to take his body off, they would have given him what the Bible calls the burial of a donkey. That means they would have taken him to the dump and just threw him out there on the pile. That's what they did to criminals that they crucified. If he would have been out there, that's what would have happened. And the Jews themselves could not come and take him off the cross on the Sabbath because they themselves would have been ceremonially unclean. And you didn't want to do that. I watched, and this is going to sound bad, gory to you. You might want to close your ears. I was watching some movie they made of the crucifixion of Jesus and those two men. And one, to me, it looked like it was a raven. He came up over the one that was on his, which one of them asked to be with him in paradise? The one on his right? Well, whichever one of them it was, the other one. The other one. He was standing over, sitting over there on the cross just talking bad to Jesus, and a bird come up and landed over his head. And he heard the bird up there, and he looked up. When he looked up, the bird got him right in the eye and pecked it out. See, that shows that they don't care anything about you. And I know that kind of turns your stomach, but you need to know what he went through. Not for somebody else. What Jesus went through for you. I told my brothers Friday night at men's meeting, some of them had said they didn't want to look at the Passion because it was too gory and too bloody. I said, you ought to look at it. Somebody ought to tie you down and make you look at the whole thing. Because so you can see what man thinks he went through. He was unrecognizable because of what he went through. They crucified him. Courage. Joseph of Arimathea had courage. And he did what he needed to do because the Sabbath was coming. And he was a strict Jew. But he was a secret disciple of Jesus. Point number two. In a lot of the places I put courage, you could put Joseph of Arimathea. Courage boldly requests to look after the body of Jesus. That's in verse 43. Man had a lot of towels. Said this place where he originally was from was about 6 miles north of Jerusalem. But he had made his home in Jerusalem. He was from Arimathea. But now he was a permanent citizen of Jerusalem. We say that because he had purchased his burial plot. He had purchased his burial plot in Jerusalem. So he intended to be buried there. He was an honorable council member. He was a member of the Sanhedrin Council of the same people. Yeah, that had him crucified. He was a member of that group. He was a good and a just man, even though he was a member of the group that carried Jesus before Pilate to have him crucified. Why are you telling us that? There are some good people, some saved people, in places you think they're not. In the yesterdays of your life, there's somebody probably thought you never would be where you are today. Because of the type of person you were then. But that's one thing I'm beginning to love about God. God won't hold you in your yesterdays when you in your heart you decide to make a change. Joseph of Arimathea was waiting, and this is what I love about. He was waiting on the kingdom of God to come. He was waiting on the Messiah to come. And he lived long enough to see him come. And he wasn't begging. He was a rich man. He had stuff. He had wealth. But he also knew that his wealth couldn't get him to the place where he needed to be. His wealth, he needed to be saved. And only Jesus could do that. And he did not vote for Jesus' death when the Sanhedrin Council took a vote. When you read the Gospels and you get in there, you will find that him and the guy that was helping him, Nicodemus, they were in a session, and the men, they had sent some spies out to get Jesus, to trap him, and they made a mistake. They let Jesus take a text, and he took a text talking about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, you don't need to let Jesus speak to you. Because when Jesus speak to you, nothing else have a tendency to make any sense. They made the mistake of letting him speak. And when he spoke, they couldn't arrest him. They were sent to arrest him. They get back in the council, and the head council said, "Why you didn't bring it?" They said, "Chief said, have you heard him speak?" Said, "If you ever hear him speak," said, "we've never heard a man speak like this." And he spoke up and said, "Yeah, you still should have arrested." Nicodemus said, "Wait a minute." Said, "We got a law that you can't convict a man before you hear a man." They did not convict him because they wouldn't hear him. They didn't want to hear him because they heard what somebody else told them about the way the man spoke. If you just listen to the man, if you listen to him, that's a word from the word. That's a word without being print. That's not King James Version. That's Jesus Christ Version. When you hear him speak, so just listen to him. Just listen to him. He told, this man was telling them all of this about Jesus Christ. And he was a secret disciple. Help me, Holy Ghost. Don't look around. Don't look around. Don't look around. Look straight at me. Are you a secret disciple? Do everybody where you go know that you are a born again believer? If you've not had that experience, let me share one with you. In the yesterdays, I did used to have a real job, y'all, and I worked every day. And I was in my office one day with my Bible one morning, and I was reading. And a young man that I had observed and watched him all through high school. He played basketball and all, and then he come back and he got a job. I was in my office with my Bible, and I was reading early that morning, and he just happened to get there early, and he stopped by the office, and he said, "What you doing, Mr. Maggie?" I said, "I'm reading my daily word." He said, "You do that regular?" I said, "Yeah, every day." He said, "Well, let me ask you another question." He said, "Are you saved?" I said, "I sure hope I am." I said, "I'm working on it." I said, I think I am. And he said, "I never would have known it." I felt that big. And I was weighing about 220 or 225 at the time. It's just about like that. I feel just about that big. And I promised God. I said, "If you will let me live, I'm going to try to live a life so people will know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm a believer." Because some kind of way I had not been to him. And he didn't see me all the time, but he saw me every day. But in observing me every day, he would not have believed that I was a believer. And I want everybody in the world to know that I'm a believer. And I stand on the word of God. That's how we need to live. And Joseph of Arimathea was not living like that. But he believed like that. Don't stop believing. Because you have not come out the closet yet. Don't worry about it. You coming. If you keep inhaling and exhaling, you coming. Because everybody that have received Jesus Christ in their heart gonna get the courage to come out the closet. Everybody else coming out, left wing, right wing, everybody else that wanna do anything, they're saying that this is me. And that's what the believers need to get to the place. Believers have a solid rock to stand on, but we won't stand on it. We hem-haw around. You need to stand on the word of God. The last thing that I said to you about him when I was given all those characteristics is the one thing that marks a change in his life, and that was he was a disciple, but a secret one. You need to hold on to that. Because if Jesus took him and him being a secret disciple, guess what he'll do for you? He'll take you too. Jesus does not do like a lot of us do. We cull people and things. Yeah, we cull them. Deacon Jones cull fish every time he go fishing. He catch some and he throw them back. Because to him, they too small. They may be too small according to the law. But God, yeah, when he catches one, he does not throw them back. He just bring them on in and put them in his bucket. And when you get in God's bucket, he feeds you. And you continue to grow and change because of the word of God. Joseph actually went to the Pilate's door. The Bible doesn't say it, but he got in to see him. So he knocked on the door and got in. And he boldly requested the body of Jesus the Christ. He wanted the body. He wanted it so he could take it down before 6 o'clock in the afternoon. The primary thing that stirred the courage in Joseph was the cross. Being a man of high status, he saw everything that had been done to Jesus. He observed it, him going from house to house, from court to court, from being tried, and the things that were done to him. He observed them. Some writers said that one or two of the meetings that Nicodemus had with Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea might have been there as well. He might have heard what some of the words that Jesus spoke. And so therefore, it made a difference in his life. He was educated, he was intelligent, but he knew that he needed a Savior. Every one of you that's sitting in here this morning or this afternoon looking at me, you made the same decision. If you haven't made it, I pray that you do make it. Because it's a decision that needs to be made. And can't nobody make it for you. Mama, grandmama, papa, might have prayed for you in the yesterdays. But you got to pray and ask God to save your soul. Grandmama and Papa and them can ask him too. But you got to ask him for yourself. There used to be a song out there. I don't remember all of it, but one line of it. It was in the world that said, God bless the child that got his own. You got to get your own soul saved. Can't anybody else do it for you? The rest of us can pray for you. But you have to talk to God about that. Joseph had courage enough to ask Pilate for the body of Jesus. Today, the body of Jesus is the church. Do you have enough courage? Are you bold enough to step forward and take care of the church? That's a hard question. If you are not a disciple of Jesus Christ, you need to step forward and seek and want to take care of the church. Special courage is often needed to step forward and show care in the times when trouble arises. You need to grit your teeth, stand on your own two feet, square your shoulders and take care of the church, because somebody needs to step forward and become Joseph of Arimathea. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 2 says, for I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you're going to care for the church, that's what you have to know. You have to know that he was crucified, and it takes courage to stand up and say that in this day and time. Point number 3. Courage was willing to experience a broken heart and to die for God's cause. Listen, Jesus Christ, being who he is, had courage to leave heaven and come to a pig pen called earth to die for a bunch of wretches, a bunch of sinners that had walked away from the only true and the living God. This comes from 44 and 45. Pilate marvel or was astonished that Christ was already dead. Didn't take long for him to die. Said he was dead by 3. So it didn't take long for him to die. It usually took days for people to die when they were crucified. But Jesus Christ didn't waste time. He did what he needed to do, and he died for a wretch like me. He stayed there and he died. He continued to do what he needed to do. He came when he came down in the laps of a virgin, he was on his way to Calvary. He didn't come to stay. And can I just tell you, neither did you. You're just a stranger traveling through here. If Jesus Christ tarries, you're going to leave here. So you're on your way to some cemetery or some graveyard. So you need to make preparations for after that time. You need to have the courage to stand up now and say, for Christ I'll live and for Christ I'll die. You need to say that. You need to live that. It's easy to verbalize it, but living it is different. You got to do more than dress up on Resurrection Sunday. You got to do more than come because it's Christmas. You got to do more than come because it's Mother's Day. It have to become a lifestyle. Then you can walk. You can say that for Christ I live and for Christ I die. Then you're willing to experience a broken heart and to even die for it. Because if you come this way, church folks will hurt you. Somebody said there's no hurt like church hurt. You can get hurt in the church, and sometimes it's not intentionally, but sometimes it is. And if you want to learn how to play politics, the worst place, and you don't be looking for it, is in the church. We know how to play it because we learn. We watch it. Jesus didn't do that. That's why you'll be hurt, because you refuse to get in the clicks and the clankies. You refuse to get in it. And sometimes we're in it. We've gotten so used to it, we don't even know we're in it. Mm-hmm. Amen, lights. Listen, and I know that you're going to have to be able to leave from being the physical you to be the spiritual you to grasp this. I do believe one of the things that reason Jesus died so fast, his heart was broken, because he was looking at people that he was dying for. And they're sitting there hollering, crucify. And he came to die for them. And the Jews were the one that was instigating it. But they just, Jesus spoke volumes on the cross. For one of the first things he said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, let me put both of my footsies in your tea. Those people that have hurt you. Mm-hmm. Those people that have dogged you out, that have did all manners of stuff to you, and you told God and everybody else you would never forgive them. You got to. Because they hold your key. They can't send you to hell, but they can stop you from receiving the blessings of God. Because every time you see them, that old stuff is going to rise up on the inside of you. You meet them, they coming down this aisle, you turn around. Go the other way. No, you got to face that problem. You got to look at it straight in the eyes and say, Lord, help me to forgive them. Because without him, you can't forgive them. And it takes courage. It takes courage when we have done you wrong for you to forgive us. You have to be standing on the word of God. The heart of Jesus was broken over sin and the sinner. sin and the sinner. He loved the sinner. All of us. There's not one of us that have not been or may still be a sinner. That means that your lifestyle is sin. Doesn't mean you don't ever sin. Your lifestyle, you sin and you don't mind sinning. You sin because you love to sin. If you didn't like your sin, you wouldn't keep doing them. No, that's a mistake. That's a mistake. If you didn't love your sin, you love them. That's why you still do them. But you need to learn to hate your sin. If you like it, you'll continue to do it. You need to hate it. And then if you hate your sin, then you're going to fall in love with Christ. Because he loved for us to give ourselves to him. And when we do that, he'll take us in. Jesus' heart ached for the sinner. I mean, his heart was missing something that he wanted to have, but we would not give it to him. You have to give yourself to him. If you give yourself to him, then he will take you just like you are, and he will fix you. I can't speak for nobody else. But before I, sure enough, really came to God, I tried to change myself. I tried to be good enough. You cannot be good enough. You have to come just like you are. As wicked and as sinful as you are, you have to come. And when you come just like you are, Christ will take you just like you are. Christ was willing to bear the terrible sorrow and pain and so much suffering that it would merely bust his heart. Because of you, he shed his rich red blood. He died on a thief's cross for a wretch like me. Point number four. Courage makes us unashamed, so we will make a commitment to Jesus Christ. And that's one thing we do not like to do. Sell out and make a flat, downright commitment to Jesus Christ. If I can come on my terms, I will come. You cannot come to Christ on your terms. Joseph of Arimathea and a man called Nicodemus personally took down the body of Jesus Christ off the cross, wrapped him in linen cloth, took him down off the cross, and carried him in his tomb. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus with 100 pounds of myrrh to embalm his body took our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, after he had left what we call this world, took his body off the cross, carried it to a place and put it in a tomb. Joseph of Arimathea had courage because he took the chance of being killed himself. Those people in the Sanhedrin Council did not play. I believe now the people that we call thugs and hooligans, they'd make them look like they were good boys because they did some awful things to people. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took an awesome chance. Any Jew that touched a corpse within 7 days of the Passover made themselves unceremonial clean, meaning they could not participate in the festival or the affairs that went on that week. And that was a big week. That's just like for some of you that's around here, May Day. May Day, you can't participate. You can't go to the parades. You can't do anything because you have touched a corpse. This is the chance they took. And everybody would know that they had done it because they were high maintenance people. They were up there. They were in the upper echelon of the people in their nationality. So everybody knew that they did it. Don't you think Pilate told it? One of your own. If I hear that a lot about us at Macedonia, let somebody from Macedonia do something and I get around. Uh-huh, yeah. I probably know more about all y'all in here than y'all think I know. Because somebody told me, not that I don't care, you didn't kill anybody, so I didn't have to come to the jail to see you, so that's okay. But my point is that when you do stuff and you're in the upper echelon, people see it and it's more visible. I know. You probably don't care, but Joseph did, because he was somebody, and he did not want his name messed up. But see, there's something about after you admit that Jesus is in your life, too much other stuff don't matter. I love every one of you in here. It might not know half of your name, but I love you with the love of God. Whether you love me back, that's your problem. It ain't none of mine. It's not mine. But I know that I love you because of the love of God that I have with me. That's where Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus got to that place, because they were in love with Jesus Christ. They were secret disciples, and now they come out of the closet and everybody knew who they were. Could you just hear them the next morning at the coffee shop? You know, I heard. Did you hear? Well, so-and-so said they saw him. They carried him. Right down the road there, Joseph even gave him his. It does not take long for stuff to spread, bad or good. Bad, it doesn't take long. Joseph demonstrated he cared for Jesus because he gave. He gave his new tomb that he had hewed out. And you know, when you do something in advance for yourself, you do it the very best that you can. Don't get scared. If you've already did a prearrangement for your burial, you probably did the very best that you could at that time. And this is what Joseph did. He had it hewed out. The Bible says it was a tomb that no man had ever used. And he gave it to Jesus. See, you got to give up something when you come to Jesus. You got to give up some friends. You got to give up some going. You got to give up some cussing. You got to give up some backbiting. You got to give up some lying. You got to give up some homemonging. There are a lot of things you have to give up if you're going to serve this God. And Joseph of Arimathea gave up something that he valued, and he put his life on the line. He actually put into effect in his life, for Christ I live and for Christ I die. Because if those people had Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, crucified, what do you think they would do to Joseph? And sometimes I wonder if they actually did something to him, because you don't read of him no more in the Bible. Nicodemus is only mentioned in the book of John. You don't hear about him anymore. Don't hear whether they were disciples, they went ahead and they ministered to people or what. But you don't hear about him anymore. But they did something with the life that they had, and that's what we need to do. We need to become courageous Christians, standing on the word of God and allowing this word to become active in our life. We don't need to stay in the closet. Get out of there. Got a whole house, got a whole mansion, and you're living in the closet. You live in the closet. You eat in the closet. You take a bath in the closet. You go to work in the closet. Everything you do is in the closet, because nobody knows that you are a believer. Come out of the closet. Use the rest of this house that God has built for you. Don't just stay in the closet. Come out. Don't keep what God has done for you a secret. Tell somebody. I just want to get by. I just want to make sure I get to heaven. There's no such thing as a hermit believer. You ought to want to take somebody else with you. I don't want to go by myself. If I go by myself, I won't hear any singing. I won't hear any music. Because I can't sing. I can't play music. But I want somebody else to go with me that's able to do those things. I'm glad you asked. I can bring them with me because I tell them and I live this life in front of them. I said this, brothers and sisters, and I don't say it trying to be funny. I tell you to hide and watch me live because I'm living the way God would have me to live. I'm not perfect, but I'm sure striving to be that way. Jesus was there whenever I needed him. He stopped by to talk to me, and I'm glad you asked. I heard you. He stopped by, and he was in this word. All the Bibles are the same. They just may have different interpretations, but the word of God is true, and it will find you wherever you are. It takes courage. You have to have courage to stand on this word of God in this day and time because a lot of people don't believe it anyway. But you have to live and show them this word. I believe that anything God did in the yesterdays, he can still do it today. But we just have to get to a point where we believe this word of God. There was a time in my life when I didn't believe he could heal you because I was constantly taking medicine for diabetes and high blood pressure and cholesterol. Right now, I don't take it for diabetes and cholesterol, and I'm on my way to stop taking it for high blood pressure. I'm glad you asked. I heard you because God said if I ask him and I trust in him and I believe him, he can do all things. He's healing today just like he did yesterday. You got to have courage, and you got to stand. And I know some of you are probably saying, well, I've been asking him too, but you got to continue to ask him. It's not that he doesn't hear you. You remember the woman that had the issue of blood. When the crowd was there, it says she kept saying, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment. Some of us think that all you got to do is just ask God one time. No, I believe, and I keep saying this, that God got a sense of humor. He wants you to stay with him. He wants to see if you believe what you're asking him. If you're asking him, expecting him to instantly heal you, you didn't get there all of a sudden, just lickety-split, just like that. It took time. It took time for me to get high blood pressure, and I can tell you how I got it. When my wife used to leave the house and go somewhere on the weekend, I'd go get me a set of pig feet, and I'd put them in the pressure cooker, and I'll set this for y'all. I'd get them four and get me a loaf of colonial bread, and I'd bring it to the house, and I'd cook that set of pig feet, get me a bottle of hot sauce, and I'd sit down and I'd eat it. I'm just telling the truth, y'all. I did that to myself. I did that over a period of years. Years and years, and then I come down with high blood pressure, and all, I ask God to take it out of me one time. No, you got to stay right there. You got to persevere. You got yourself in. You got to trust me and expect me to get you out of it. I expect God to heal me because he said in his word, ask, expect, act, and believe in your heart that I'll do what I said, and I will stop by to heal you. It takes courage, and you can't get courage just because you say it one time. You got to stay with him. You got to, it becomes a lifestyle. You can't just change all at one time. You didn't get there just like that. It took time for you to get there. Give God the same time to get it out you that it took you to get it in you. God will provide just what you need, but you need the courage to stand on this word. I'm through, y'all, but let me tell you this. There's some things they call a hitchhiker. Well, a hitchhiker is a person that stands side the road, and when they see the car coming, we pick up the car down here and we bring it along just like this, sticking your thumb out until it passes. And when it passes, you take it down. And they The next one come, you do the same thing. You want to catch a ride, but you don't want to have a car payment. You don't want to pay for the oil being changed. You don't want to pay for the tires. You just want a ride. You want to hitchhike. You want to get in on somebody else's payment. No, you got to get your own. There's some hitchhiking Christians. They want to get in on somebody else's prayer. You got to get your own courage. You got to get your courage and pray and talk to this God, and he will stop to see about you. Y'all, I'm trying to quit, but God just done been good to me. I thought about this. There was all those other people that Jesus had done things for, and the first thing I thought about was the wedding at Canaan. There was a wedding at Canaan that Jesus and the disciples was invited to, and they went there and they ran out of wine. Jesus told them to get some water and pour in the pot, and they poured the water and they took out it was the best wine, but they were not at the funeral. But then there was Peter's mother-in-law. She was sick. He touched her and healed her, but she was not at the funeral. Then there was the lady's son who had died, and Jesus met it and he touched him and he got up, but he was not at the funeral. The 5,000 that he fed with the two fishes and five loaves, they were not at the funeral. Oh, but thank God, there was a secret disciple that had courage that came to the funeral, that Jesus, he took him down and carried him to his own sepulcher and put him in it, and he stayed there for 3 long days and 3 nights. Didn't want it for all times. He just went on a weekend excursion, a 3-day vacation down into hell for me. God's good, y'all. It takes courage to stand on the word of God. Brothers and sisters, if you don't have courage, you won't stand. And don't let me or nobody else tell you that you don't have it. Trust in God. What you need, ask him. Ask him. Ask, and ask him, believing and expecting him to answer. And he will. But that will extend an invitation for you to come to Christ just as you are. Don't try to change anything. And don't wait until you get right. Just come. Just come. Just leave from where you are spiritually and come to Christ. And he'll take you. Somebody else might not want to take you, but Christ will take you. You have to come to him. And when you come, he will in no wise turn you away. But you got to come. You got to leave from where you are. And he will save you. He will in no wise turn you away, but you got to come. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come to Christ just as you are? And he will save you. Will you come? God bless you.